My text is in the book of Exodus and chapter 18 and verse 18 is my text. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Now the message that we have this morning is obviously a message for God's people, the elders of the church and the pastor of a church. So one by one we all come in line for a word from the scriptures here. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Now we are looking at the character of Moses, and in a way there are two themes or two strands to our account here. Of the man himself, Moses, and the dealings of God with him, and that also of the people of God. They're both intertwined. An easy illustration is this. The other Sunday, I referred that in the little vestry there, we have photographs of past ministers of this church. And if I can illustrate by using it in a different way again, that if you look, say, at, I can remember their names, the first minister, Mr. Cole, then you see dates there. Now, those dates are the dates whilst he was minister of this church. They're not the date of his birth or the date of his death. And so you can say that those dates in Mr. Cole's ministry were a chapter in his life. Then you could also say that those dates in the history of this church were a chapter in the history of the church. Two things are happening at the same time. That Mr. Cole or any of the other ministers have followed, that as they ministered here, they too were learning things of God. They too were being dealt with by God. And in the ups and downs of their experiences, that God was dealing with them. That was a separate thing, and yet inseparable from God's dealing with the church. What the church learnt in that time, what they were led through in that time by the minister at that time of this particular church. So you have two things happening. So that when you take a character like this, like Moses, you are able to say, yes, well, here is God's dealing in the life of Moses, but the chapter also runs parallel with God's dealing with the people of Israel, with the people, his covenant people. And so you cannot really separate them. You have the story of a people, you have the story of a man, and how they are interrelated together. We are most particularly interested in the dealings of Moses, God with Moses, yet at the same time, we also see how he deals with God's people. And in the last message, last Sabbath, if you remember, it was a battle with Amalek. It was the first kind of battle they'd had. God had been very generous to them, and that they had been led various ways, and that he had avoided, he'd taken them certain ways, that they would not meet certain fierce tribes. But now he allowed them to have a battle, a time of adversity. And we find that in a time of adversity, that people band together in a very wonderful way. And so we found that the people stopped murmuring, and they stopped grumbling. And we find a very wonderful thing there with Joshua on the plain. The people are fighting or they're supporting. They're all involved. There on the hillside is Moses with the rod, if you remember. And he found that he got weary in prevailing in prayer. And Aaron and Hur came along and they held his arm up to hold his rod up that made a way through the Red Sea, if you remember, that hit the rock and brought water forth. And so that he was helped to prevail in prayer, so that when his arms went down before he was helped, so Amalek prevailed. When they went up again in prayer, and so Israel prevailed. And so prayer warriors came along, and they joined in and assisted the leader of the people in that battle. And there was no murmuring. It's like a time of war, where people bury their differences, and they together contend for the faith. And so we have it here. We have the wonderful example where everybody can be involved, either in the actual contending on the plain, or else maybe quietly supporting as an Aaron or a Hur, and supporting and holding the minister or the pastor or the leader's arms up in prayer, that he might prevail. That's the picture that we had. And there is tremendous unity, and they are greatly encouraged, and it is God that gives them the victory. Now we have a very different situation. Another problem arises now. How do you cope with blessing? Now you see, he's been taught how to cope with adversity. The people become very united, and they uphold the pastor, or the Moses in this case here, and there is no murmuring and no grumbling. But how do you cope with blessing? The children of Israel have become very numerous, and Moses now has a problem. And so the message we have this morning is the advice that is given to Moses and to the elders and to the people on how to now manage in a very different situation. If revival came to this church, if revival came to the churches of this city, if revival came to Wales or to Britain or to Europe, are we prepared to cope? Are we so orientated in our thinking that because of the terrible declension spiritually, we can only think of groups of 30s and 40s or 10s and 20s, that we think small? Now, in times of revival, you have to learn to think big. As an easy illustration, you only have to think of the island of Lewis in the northern part of Scotland. Well, way off the northern part of Scotland, 3.5 hours by sea further north. There is a very large island. I think it's 60 or 70 miles long, 30 miles wide at its widest part. But there are many, many villages. Its main town is Stornoway. There, but you ought to see the size of the churches. This would be, I would say, a rather small church as compared to their average church. The larger churches hold something like 2,000 or 2,500 people, and their churches are full. They're guaranteed of their congregations. The population of the island is less than 30,000 people. Their churches are full. Now, why? They've had revival after revival. They're not in revival now, but still, even in between revival times, they still have to cope with blessing. Now then, can we cope? Are we willing to cope? Well, they must have learned this lesson. I haven't inquired, but they must have learned this lesson, and the lesson that Moses had to learn. You have to learn to think big. And when you learn to think big, then you have to learn God's way. God doesn't divide. God unites. That's the amazing thing. And yet you might say, oh, surely the advice given here would be division. That would be the carnal way of doing it. The spiritual way is quite different. I'll take you to the scriptures to prove it. The conflict of God's man. Now, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, comes on the scene. This in the, if you read the chapter, you can see the how glad they are to meet one another. And the verses, that I think in verses 10 and 11, if I remember correctly. And Jethro said, when he'd heard that the Israelites had been brought out, the people of the covenant from Egypt, he could hardly believe his ears. He said, "Blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, For in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And so Jethro was absolutely delighted with the success of God's people under the hand of God and how he had used Moses. He was greatly pleased and delighted at this. And so there is a great time of rejoicing. All the family are together. Jethro, with all his tribe and his family, are there. Meet Moses, not only with his family, but also with the vast, I think it's over 600,000 people, a vast congregation of people, the covenant people of God. They've been brought out of Egypt. They've celebrated the Passover. The angel of death passed over them. They went into the wilderness, and then they brought to the Red Sea. All these things happened. How God provided water, how God sweetened the bitter waters, how God provided bread for them. All these things they know of, and how God prevailed with them at the battle with Amalek. And now then, we're in a time of prosperity and a time of peace. And so there is this reunion. Notice God brings people into our lives at the right time. Notice that. The timing of God is perfect timing. The word of God is a perfect word of God. So in verse 13 we have these words. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. Remember, he was the leader. And the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. That is, it was a 24-hour job. Not exactly that. I don't know what his hours were. I'm sure that the trade unions would be very, very cross at the hours that he worked. But he put in a full day. Let's say that he did have 5 or 6 hours sleep. But if he had that, I doubt if he had more than that. So till morning until evening, he would see the people and he judged the people. And it was non-stop. Jethro was astounded. Now remember, there's no animosity between them. They're great friends. Jethro was astounded. And in verse 14, when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? What are you doing?" Now, he was judging the people. He was carrying out the office of a leader of the people. "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by from morning until even? I am completely astounded at that which thou art doing." And Moses tells him he is immersed in the work. He says that he is called to this. He doesn't say it in those words, but this is how he answers in verses 15 and 16. "And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." He was quite right in what he said. This is my duty as a pastor. This is my duty as the called of God, the anointed of the Lord. I help them in the inquiry of God. I judge great things and small things for them. And I am busy, occupied in all the troubles and the afflictions of the children of Israel. And I help them in their daily lives. I'm concerned about their social welfare. I'm concerned about the problems that they have in their homes. So I judge the right and wrong and so on. And Moses' father-in-law saith unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good." And that's quite surprising, isn't it? "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away." You waste away. You'll never be able to keep it up. "Thou wilt surely wear away both thou," and notice, not only thyself, "both thou and this people," because I read into this at least, that he's going to get his people worried stiff. "Thou surely wear away both thou and this people that are with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." This is Jethro speaking. It's not really Jethro speaking. If you read on, he tells him, "Well, you inquire of God and see what God has to say." Now, you turn from the book of Exodus with me now, and turn your Bibles to Numbers 11, and verses 11 to 15 there. Numbers 11, and verses 11 to 15. How did Moses really feel in all this? You see, you get another aspect. In the Exodus account, we have the Jethro father-in-law common sense advice under the hand of God. In Numbers, we have the heart of Moses and God here. So verse 11. Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? He is sharing with God and saying, I am finding it too hard. I am finding it too difficult. He wouldn't say this openly, but he is saying it to God. And then in verse 12, have I conceived all these people? Did I give them birth? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth a sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest, unto their fathers? Hast thou laid all that responsibility upon me? Lord, it is too much for me. And then in verse 14, he admits to God, I am not able. I am not able to bear all these people alone, because it is too heavy for me. Notice Moses is learning. In the battle, his hands went heavy. He needed prayer supports. In blessing, he needed a physical support. This is too heavy for me, because it is too heavy for me. So this is what we have in the book of Numbers. It's a hard lesson for him to bear. Here is a man who is concerned for the covenant people of God. Here is a man who's had to learn everything the hard way. He had to learn to go to Pharaoh without the presence of God and find it as useless. He had to learn it when he went into the before Pharaoh with the presence of God, then miracles happened. He had to learn that during the battle of Amalek, that when he couldn't prevail in prayer, that he failed. When he prevailed in prayer, then Israel prevailed. He had to learn all the time God's way. Now, our problem today as Bible-based Christians is to find God's way. We have to rediscover God's way of doing things. And we have to be obedient, all of us. In the chaos, evangelical chaos today, we have to come back to our Bibles. Mainly people are laying aside their Bibles and just talking. We have to come back to our Bibles. Now then, the command of God's servant. Now, Jethro, in a way, is a messenger. And we have now in Exodus these words. Moreover, in verse 20, I think, 21. Moreover, thou shalt provide. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men. What kind? Such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Do that. You see, they are maintaining the unity. He's not dividing the Israelites. Moses is still there. But he's delegating the responsibility. That's the difference. The carnal way was to be to break up a work that God had done. That would be the carnal way. The spiritual way is to delegate in the work that God is doing. Do you see the difference? And it maintains the unity. That's why we read that psalm at the beginning. It is a blessed thing when brethren dwell together in unity. Now, how is the working out of this? Verse 22. And let them, these elders, men that love truth, men that are not covetous, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee. Thou shalt still be their pastor. Thou shalt still be the overall leader. These will have their duties, but their duties are limited. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So it shall be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. As Aaron and Hur prevailed in prayer with thee, so also let men now, elders of the people, men that love the truth and will have nothing to do with covetousness, men that will be honest and not usurp thee as the leader of the people, but will be with thee. Any great matter, they will be honest enough to bring it to thee, because thou art the anointed of the Lord. But any small matter, they are able to deal with. Why? It will be easier for thee, for thou wilt be able to concentrate upon those things that are vital and spiritual, and they will be able to ease thy burden. This is how Jethro advises him under the hand of God. The unity is kept, but the work is shared. Great matters are brought to Moses, and other matters are brought to them. Now then, in verse 23, if thou shalt do this thing, and notice, this is vital, and God command thee so. Jethro fears God enough to know that it must be finally the word of God. If thou shalt do this thing and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure. And all this people shall also go to their place in peace. It'll be a double blessing in a way. Thou wilt be able to go on. Thou wilt be able to endure. The burden will not be too heavy for thee. And the people themselves will feel easier, because they know that great matters will be brought to thee, and they will know that there will be men that will care for them in small matters, that they will be willing for this, and there will be peace in their hearts. They will not murmur about this, because it is a God-ordained way. Yet there is unity here, and yet there is delegation here. Now then, this is what we have in Exodus. Now what do we have in Numbers? Let's go back to Numbers and to chapter 11 again, and look at verse 16 with me. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel. He doesn't do the choosing. They have been chosen. They are chosen other people. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people. That is, that they really are elders and officers over them. And bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. Now notice, this is the spiritual side of it. Jethro, under the hand of God, showing the sane, sensible, maintaining the unity and sharing of responsibility, and yet great matters being brought to Moses. Now then, here is a spiritual side. Look at verse 17 with me in Numbers still. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Isn't the advice beautiful? Listen to the twofold balance here. Jethro, as a father-in-law who loved Moses, what are you doing? He said, you'll wear yourself out. And you'll worry your people, seeing yourself being worn out from morning until night. Every little thing brought to thee, this is no way at all. Get elders of the people, men of truth, and that do not love covetousness. Great matters he can bring to thee, but let them deal with small matters, that it may be easier with thee, and it, thou shalt endure. But ask what God commands. Then in Numbers we are told, Moses has been sharing with God something he hadn't admitted to. I do find it hard, Lord. I do find myself wearing away, and yet I feel I must go on, because the love of God, in the New Testament, the love of Christ, constraineth me. And yet, have I conceived these people? Can I bear 600,000 people, or the accurate number is given there? And so God tells him, now all the elders of the people, appoint 70 that thou knowest to be elders, bring them here. And the Spirit that is upon thee, I will share with them. So what have we? Men of truth that do not love covetousness, and the Spirit that Moses has is upon them. Why? That Moses may endure, that great matters may be brought to him, and the people will be at peace to bring little matters to these spiritual men. That's the command he has. Then lastly, to finish, the calling of God's servant. What is then Moses' specific work? What are his terms of reference? We have here a burden shared. He was helped by Aaron and Hur in prayer. We have a burden shared. Great matters are brought to him, and the Spirit that he has, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is shared with the 70 elders. We have here a glorious unity. It isn't a division of the people. There are united people. They are the covenant people of God. You see, there's nothing carnal at all about this. Never does God advise the breaking up of the unity. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace and the unity of the people. It is a blessed thing for brethren to dwell together in unity. Yet the sharing, this is a spiritual way. The sharing. Now, what is Moses' task? In Exodus, again, verses 19 and 20 in chapter 18, we have these words. Hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. Let's stay there for a moment. What he's saying is this. Moses, because thou art so busy in things that these men of truth and men without covetousness and the Spirit of God upon them, that they can do and trust them to do it, then that thou mightest be released now to be for the people Godward. They must have their spiritual leader. This must be so. And through the whole of scriptures we find this. We find that you have the men of God who are for the people Godward. That's why it is the most grievous sin, apart now from the sin against the Holy Spirit. It says in the scriptures, woe unto him that raises his hand against the Lord's anointed. It is one of the most terrible of sins. And in the day of Christ, I will tremble ever to criticize another minister who is a born-again man. I will be petrified to do it. Really now? So now then, what is then the duty of the man of God? For his people, he must be petrified if he involves himself in anything else. To be for the people Godward. There are many little things he can do. There are many little things he can fuss about. But in doing those things, he is neglecting his primary call to be for the people Godward. The aloneness that he must face. The holiest of all that he must enter. And in a sense, although we know the priesthood of all believers, we still have those who are appointed to be pastors, and Moses had to learn that he had to walk a single path, a lonely way, yet a burden lifted that it might be easier for him. Now, what does it mean in practical terms for us, for myself or any minister of the gospel? to set forth the glory of Christ primarily. That's the task. To declare the unsearchable riches of Christ. To bring the things of the grace of God to men and women. In other words, as two in the book of Acts, it says, Peter and John said, we cannot but speak of the things which we have seen and we have heard. Of course, they could have occupied themselves. There were many people who were deaf, many who were blind. There were many who were hungry. There were many who were sad. There were many things that they felt very sad about. But their task was this. We cannot but speak of the things which we have seen and we have heard. There was a problem of slavery in the time of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There was a problem of slavery in the time of the apostles. Yet what do they preach? The unsearchable riches of Christ. And that has the effect of masters becoming decent masters and servants becoming decent servants. That is a byproduct of the gospel. But the gospel itself must be unadulterated and pure. And the minister must try, in as far as in him lies, to be for the people Godward. That on the Sabbath day particularly, that he brings the things of God to them. It's a message for me. Of course it is. It's not very easy to do it. Because the temptation is to work in the flesh. Run here, run there, do this, do the other. There are things that must be done like that. But it can be overdone. You can understand me, can't you? Here is the God pattern here. Moses, Jethro is saying, thou art the shepherd of the flock. And if a shepherd wears himself out and has not delegated in these lesser things, thou hast not done thy people a good turn. Let God command thee to be for the people Godward, that thou mightest endure. Then verse 20, and thou shalt teach them, pastor teacher, this is what the ministry, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and do the work that they must do. That is what they want you, from thee, that thou mightest be to them Godward, that thou mightest bring the deep things of God to them. And thou mightest teach them the working out of the salvation in their hearts and in their lives. Oh yes, it doesn't mean that thou art not involved with the people. Great matters will be brought to thee. It's in verse 19 here. Listen to it again. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God, the great matters, the important things, when a family may be going through a very difficult and a hard time. Of course, thou art involved with that family. Of course, thou wilt give them time. But that is a very different matter. And thou wilt bring with them their cause to God. Of course, thou art involved with the people in that sense. But be to the people Godward, and teach them the ordinances of God, and teach them the ways of God. Hearken unto my voice. That's the pattern. Now look at it. Thou canst not bear this alone. God said, of the elders of Israel, appoint 70, I will give them the same spirit as thou hast. Men of truth, men without covetousness. Let them deal with small matters. Let them report the great matters to thee, that the unity is kept. Do that. And do it in that way. And then for thyself, be to the people Godward. Bring the great causes with the families to me. Thou wilt be able to endure and teach the people in the way of God and guide my people. That is unity and not division. And that is how to cope with blessing. It's a very wonderful way, and it's God's way. Behold how blessed and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. This unity that is trusted and delegated, and the people are at peace, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Cope in time of adversity, and how to cope in time of blessing. May God give us grace to understand his ways and be willing to submit ourselves as pastor, elders, people to the way of God. Let us pray. O Lord, we come to thee in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. We ask thy blessing. We ask, O Lord, that thy grace may be towards us. Help us to be an obedient people, that in that day, O Lord, thou mightest say to pastor, elders, and people, well done, my good and faithful servants. Amen.